want you to open up that Bible to, let's go first, where should we go, Lord? Let's go first to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to minister a message that the Lord laid on my heart last week. And it's funny, and it'll fit Cowboy Church, of course, because it's talking about sheep and goats. And you're going to find out that in these last days, there's going to be a separating of the sheep and the goats. Let me ask you some questions real fast before we start getting into this. Have you ever had an unction or been told by the Lord to do something? Maybe just felt led to do it, you know, because listen, a lot of people hear from God differently. I mean, very few people literally hear the voice audibly of the Lord. I mean, I'm not saying they don't, then they can't, because I believe they can. I believe God can come and talk to them just like I'm talking to you. I'm okay with that. But a lot of times people hear from God when God brings it to their mind. You know why? Because we're supposed to have the mind of Christ. So when God brings it to your mind, usually most Christians then try to divide whether it's the devil, if it's them, or if it's the Lord. And really, you don't have to get mixed up on the second two, you know, when it's you or when it's God, because if you have the mind of Christ, then you're going to know when to discern if it's the devil or when it's the Lord. And even if it's you, if it's lined up with the Word of God, then that's okay. And you'll be able to tell if it's the devil pretty easily, because it'll come against the Word of God. I mean, if God's trying to say, you know, to a married couple, you know, I don't like this part about my husband, I believe God's telling me to leave him. Well, then we know that's not God, unless it's abuse and so on. Because the God's not going to say leave your husband or leave your wife. No, he's going to say restore. I mean, be a blessing. Have that agreement, praise God, that power. You know, now the devil, on the other hand, he's going to say, hey, you know, just give up, quit, and those kind of things. But God's not going to do that. So when we're having things come to our mind and God tells us to do something, maybe something little like blessing somebody or walking up to someone and just saying, hey, I just wanted to, you know, I just wanted to tell you how much God loves you. Something simple. Or maybe it's bigger, you know, where God says, hey, I want you to go and bless that person with what I tell you to do. Well, how many of you have ever been told by God or had a unction or a leading to do something for God, but there seems to be a resistance? Let me see your hand. I mean, it usually is most of us. Most of us, because when God says to do something, then the enemy wants to try to stop it. He does not want you to be in the will of God. He doesn't want you to accomplish a dream or a goal. And a lot of times you have to understand that maybe you do have a dream. Maybe you do have a goal to accomplish something. And the scripture that can back it up is when you submit yourself to God, then he will give you the desires of your heart. But there's an enemy that always wants to stop something good coming to you from the Lord. I mean, the enemy wants to stop you from having the manifestations of healing, let's say. I mean, you're believing God. The doctors have said some negative report to you. And so we do what Christians do is we believe that by the stripes of the Lord Jesus, we are healed. Would you all agree with that? Okay. Well, then the enemy comes to try to snatch that word from us so that what you're believing God for is not going to take place. It's not going to manifest. And he will build up walls. Okay. Now, let's read and start finding that there may be some separating that needs to take place in order for you to reach the promised land that God wants you to reach. There might need to be some separating of some goat mentality, and we're gonna see some things that God talks about. Maybe a separating of some areas so that you can freely receive the giftings of the Lord. So look at 2 Corinthians, and let's go to chapter 6, and look at verse 14. Now, this is everything in our lives, and I know most people take these scriptures right here of like when you date. And, you know, when you're trying to date people, it tells us and instructs us, verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I asked my mom as we was driving, I think, home yesterday about, wonder why the Lord inspired the Apostle Paul to put the word yoked in that scripture. I said, what do you think yoked means? And she began to teach me about, and I had forgotten about, you know, when two oxen, you have this device that yokes them together. It's a mechanism that keeps those two together. Well, they always wanted to make sure that the two mules, oxen, horses, whatever that would drive that plow, you didn't want them one bigger than the other, because then that affected a lot of things. One would work harder than the other. You see it today when you have the people driving the wagons, is you want them yoked in the same way. You want them to try to be as equal as possible, because again, if they start getting off, then it might mess up the flow of all of it. And so they would yoke those oxen as close together, the height, everything, their size, their stoutness. I mean, you could have, a lot of times people have messed it up because they'll think, well, let's stick a big old stout horse in front, maybe by an old weak one. And you'll find out that stout one is just, all he's doing is dragging the weak one. And so here the word is saying, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness? And the reason that he says righteousness is because when you give your life to Jesus Christ, the Bible says you are then made the righteousness of God in him, in Christ Jesus. So when you say, Jesus, come into my life, I don't care how you act, you are righteous. Now, you may do some things that are unrighteous, but you're still righteous. It's kind of like a woman being pregnant. You either pregnant or you're not. You can't be halfway pregnant. No, you either pregnant or you're not pregnant. Well, how many of you know when we get saved, we are righteous. We're in right standing with God. Even if we do some things that are not in right standing, that's, thank God for forgiveness. Thank God for grace. Thank God for mercy. Because then we can go to God and say, man, I apologize, sir. I missed that. Forgive me. You know what God says? He says, not a problem, son, daughter. I'll throw that sin into the sea of forgetfulness and remember it no more as far as the east is to the west. I don't know about you, but that's a good God to serve. Say amen to that. I mean, when we mess up, we can just say, God, I apologize, sir. We can repent and turn away from that sin. And then God does not remember it anymore, but people do. And they'll bring it up quite a bit to us all. Yeah, remember what you did in college? You know what you should say when they do that? You should say, oh, that's the old man. That's not me anymore. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And because until you're convinced of that, you'll still live as a defeated foe, like the word talks about, instead of being the victor that God's called you to be, praise God. So he's trying to teach us as we're trying to do what he's called us to do, and we're trying to achieve a dream or a goal or a vision that God gave us, that we need to pay attention to when he says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what does righteousness, or what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with the devil? Or what part has he that believes with an infidel, an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple, verse 16, of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, he's wanting to say that to every one of us, but a lot of times we might have some things in our life or some people in our lives that doesn't allow God to really manifest the way he needs to manifest. And it's almost as if God's saying, okay, I'm waiting, but that little bit of unbelief is there, that little bit of doubt. Get that out of your life so that I can actually do something in your life, you see. Now, check this out. So he says in 16, and I'll be their God at the end of it, and they shall be my people. Check this out, verse 17. Wherefore, he instructs, come out from among them and be separate. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you right now that in these last days, and I just declare we're in the last days, I believe that we are in the days of when Jesus could appear at any time. I mean, this Bible is true. It sets us free. And it's instructed. And I know all the young people, please, Lord, don't come yet. I haven't gotten married. I haven't had children. I haven't done what I want to do. And some older people are kind of like that too, you know. I haven't got to be around the grandkids and whip them and then send them back to their mamas. But really, we need to be about the Father's business, and we need to be looking up because our redemption draws nigh. We need to be saying, there's the clouds are gathering, sir. Is this the day? We as Christians are to be ready for the return of the Lord. Because listen to me. Maybe I should teach this sometimes. Look at me. Look up here. When Jesus comes back to get us, we're only gone 7 years. I mean, they don't teach this stuff anymore. We're only gone 7 years, and then we come back for a 1,000-year reign on the earth. So you might want to take care of your house, because in 7 years, you're going to move back into it. In other words, we're going to be gone while there's a rapture taking place. And I'm just here to tell you, I believe that we're gone on the first outing. I don't want to stay for the mid-tribulation where we go through half. I'm out. And you better be ready to go out too. And then we'll come back and we'll still have families and so on. We'll still replenish the earth or whatever. It just will be without sin. Say amen to that. Now listen. So we're trying to figure out how to receive the visions of God and get the obstacles out. Because there's going to be a separation, and God began to deal, as you turn to Matthew chapter 26 real fast. Matthew chapter 20, let's go 25. Matthew chapter 25. He begins to talk about this separation. You know, again, he's already talked about don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't always have a heathen friend. You should always have a heathen friend, but you need to get them saved. And then get another heathen friend. You're not supposed to go down to the heathen friend when you're around them. Go to the bar and drink beer and do all that stuff. And then you get away from them, separate yourself on Sunday, and then you're holy. No. We're supposed to separate ourselves. We're supposed to, as Christians, be peculiar, you see. Now, I don't know why that's so hard for people. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. We are Christians. We are different. We are translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the light, where it's full of joy, full of peace, full of happiness, full of healing, full of prosperity, full of all those things that you and I need. And I'm here to tell you, we need to know who we are in Christ Jesus and not be ashamed of that. I know these last days, though, you're seeing more of the attack, more of the resistance of the kingdom things. I mean, you're seeing it in our country. I mean, we have politicians trying to remove God from everything. We're having parties, Democratic parties, not even want to pray over their conventions. We're having states. They're saying, oh, here we go again with the guns and the religious people. I'm here to tell you, I'm going to keep packing. Because when that devil comes, he ain't getting me and my family. Huh? Hmm? What'd you say, devil? What? Did you say leapfrog? I mean, there's something about the authority of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every demon must flee. Okay, when we haven't separated those old goats, man, they're all around us. And I know a lot about sheep and goats. Matter of fact, my family was raised on the ranch in Fort Stockton, in Sonora, Texas, in a little town called Ira Ann, Texas, up there, West Texas, Sheffield area. It's all sheep and hair goats. But in the midst of all those hair goats are some Spanish goats. They're crazy. I'm serious. Those Spanish goats would be so wild up there in Fort Stockton that we would go and get on our horses, and if you caught an old Big Billy, you could get $150. So this is the 80s. They'd never seen a human before, so we'd get on our horses and we'd get all through those hills. And a lot of that country has rim rocks. I mean, those goats can jump off a 20-foot rim rock, but your horse cannot. I'm telling you, not safely. I'll just use some King James vernacular with you. You try to go off a rim rock at 20 foot on your horse, thou willest dieth quickly. So we'd get there and we'd have our rope ready. And you had to be a good roper because you're having to rope through mesquite trees and so on. But you're having to time it. So I would spot a little herd. There's three of them. We'd gather up the boys and we would, as fast as we could towards them, and they would see us and then split and run, and we would all just go. And man, you had to be so quick to get those Spanish goats, but I'm telling you, they were wild. I found out a few things about sheep and goats, but let me read with you a couple of things that is going to happen in chapter 25. Let's go 25 of Matthew and verse 32. And before him, by the way, this is Jesus talking in a parable. He's giving you an example of I need to teach you something about you and some unbelievers. In verse 32, he says, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall, say it with me, separate, say it louder, separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep at his right hand. I find that interesting. Think about that. We are the sheep, the Bible says. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are sheep. Shepherd by the shepherd, Jesus Christ. But in this church, you're shepherd by Corey and Jamie Ross. as the pastors. We are the shepherds of the sheep, okay? Notice how it says that God separated the sheep, put them at their right hand. Well, where is Jesus, the shepherd? When he was crucified, God, he ascended after he descended to hell for 3 days, had to go through everything that we go through. He conquered it, thank God. He conquered the grave. He conquered death. And he was raised and now seated, remember, at the right hand of the Father. Now here the separation is happening, and God's moving the sheep, the born-again people of God, to the right. And he goes on to say, and he's moving the others. He says, then shall the king say unto them, let's move up. Verse 33, and he shall set the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. For I was a stranger, and you took me in. Now, think about servanthood, because with a 15-year-old church, it's going to take a whole bunch of us having a heart of servants. And I mean, I got to be honest. I get a call last week, and, well, we started going to a church in Georgetown. They was a big part of our church. Because I felt guilty taking my child to the nursery when there were two mothers there just visiting, and I didn't want to leave my child with them, so I would stay in and miss the service. I didn't know that, because we try to have someone in the nursery. We try to have someone tending to each class of the children. It is a little burden sometimes trying to get enough help to do that. It's almost like no one wants to go and serve. Everybody just wants to receive. But there's got to be a time when all the things that we receive, we give out to the ones that need to receive, like our children. So they said, yeah, you know, I went to this other church and they have hired. I guess that's what inspired me to tell people about our church. They have hired people. And I said, man, we're just not there. I so apologize. But man, when you have a heart to just maybe once every 2 months, I don't care if it's high school kids teaching our youngins. That's what this is talking about, y'all. That God separated in these last days the sheep and the goats. And you do not want to be the goats. You want to be the sheep. The sheep are the born again people. The ones that don't just rely on self, but are actually about others. I want to help someone else. Now, you might say, yeah, but I need help. You know what I learned a long time ago in ministry? That when you start ministering to someone else, it'll minister to you. You're going through a tough time possibly, but when you start ministering to someone else, it can't help but minister to you. Why? Because you're living by the principle of sowing and reaping, seed, time, harvest. When you're planting a seed into someone else's life, I'm telling you, it will harvest back in your life because you'll have more favor. I mean, you got a job here. You want to talk about getting promoted really fast? Be a blessing to your boss. Be a blessing to the people under you. Be someone that they all want to gather around. You see, that's what God's trying to say here is I got 15 minutes to preach this. I looked at the big clock back there. He's saying, you sheep on my right hand. Again, I was hungry, you gave me meat, thirsty, drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, you came to visit me. Now listen to me. He's talking about the sheep, not just the pastor. Is anybody out there? Yeah, but you know the pastor, he's gone. He's out there, you know, preaching and roping and being out there. He's not here at the church. He's not tending to his flock. Yes, I am, because I'm actually teaching you to tend to the flock. Because you need to be the one that that goes and prays for that sick person because you are the sheep. My job as the pastor, according to Ephesians chapter 4, is to train up you to do the work of the ministry. And the ministry might be you go to that person and be a blessing and pray and lay hands over them, spit on them, oil them up, or whatever. Now, I will do that because that's my heart. But when I need to be out there ministering to those steer ropers or going to the college national finals and putting up a tent for a week and ministering and getting so many of those kids saved, and when I need to go and do a camp meeting in Dattle, New Mexico, or whatever we're about to do, then by golly, it's all should be about the kingdom of God, because you as the sheep are supposed to be the one when they're sick, go visit them. Be the sheep, see. All right, real fast, look. Verse 37. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when we saw thee hungered, fed thee, thirsty, we gave thee drink. He's asking questions. When did we see the stranger and took him in? When did we see the naked and clothed them? Or when did we see the sick or in prison and we came to them? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these things, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Verse 41 says, Then shall he say unto them that's on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you didn't give me drink. You didn't give me meat. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me a drink. When I was a stranger, you didn't come and take me in. Naked, you didn't clothe me. Sick or in prison, you visited me not. Then shall they that answer him, saying, Lord, we saw thee hungered and thirst, or athirst, or a stranger, naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister unto thee. Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, in as much as you did not to the one of the least of these, you did not unto me. In other words, he's saying, if you're a Christian and you're born again and Jesus is the Lord of your life, we've got to be about other people. We can't be about just us, because I know some things about sheep. I've told this church this before, but a fat sheep will not reproduce. Matter of fact, they get stuck in the thorns of the mesquite trees. They're just so fat, they have no energy, and that old mesquite tree or those vines will get on them, and they don't have enough strength to get out. Let me tell you some things about sheep and goats that I want to leave you with. Sheep, this ought to be every one of us, inherently calm. They're not complainers. They're obedient. Sheep are good followers, rarely causing trouble. Non-aggressive. Sheep have a need for a shepherd. You ever see someone that, I don't need nobody but God, Jesus? Well, you can't touch the Lord Jesus like you can your pastor or your shepherd. But there's a lot of people that they don't feel like, they'll stay at home and watch it from TV. There might be someone watching today that, you know, I just don't like going to the church. Well, there's something wrong then, because that's not how sheep act. Sheep want a shepherd. Matter of fact, sheep, you can get a sheep in lush green pastures and they're content, but not a goat. Not goats. Let me tell you about goats. Goats are impulsive. And I know right now you're thinking, uh-huh, she dead sure is. That's my wife right there. You're going to have a temptation to think of someone beside you right now or someone you know. Don't do that. They might act like a goat, but they may not be a goat. Goats, devious. They're stubborn, head-butted. You ever see a goat? You don't see this with sheep very often, but you see a goat raise up. You ever seen that? You ever watch those hunting shows? Those old rams? Boy, they come and pop, pop. because that's how a goat is, man. They're stubborn head butters. They're rarely content, always wanting. Matter of fact, a goat, they look for the hole in the fence. I had sheep and goats. I never had trouble with my sheep. But them stinking goats, they would be caught in the fence. Who's testifying to this? I mean, a goat, they would get hung up in the fence. If I didn't catch them, they could be dead. Or they'll find a little old hole and they'll just keep. They got plenty of grass on this side and they want the grass right there. So they'll make the little hole a little bigger. A goat is constantly looking for the hole in the fence. A goat, they'll eat anything. You want something cleaned up? You don't go get sheep. You go, let's go get some goats to clean up this little part of the... And not only will they eat all the grass to the nub, they'll eat the trees, they'll eat the weeds, they'll eat your child, they'll eat the dog. I mean, them things just eat, right? Listen to me. Here we are talking, and I'm closing. Here we are talking about something that God has instructed you to do. He's envisioned you to do something. You have a dream. You have a goal. You want to meet that goal or dream, but there's some resistance. Well, how about thinking about maybe getting a few of the tendencies of the goat out of your life? How about maybe getting some goats away from you that are unbelievers, that are not good for you? If you're looking for a man or a woman to marry, you don't want the goat. You don't have time for the goat. You need a believer in Jesus Christ so that you can be actually equally yoked, man. But I'm here to tell you, a lot of times we're stopped because we do get stubborn, even as Christians. I have people holding their ears. Is it loud? Yeah, we need to crank her down, I guess. I mean, that's what I look for people, when you hold your ears. But I want to be able to scream a little bit. So turn me down. I'll just scream. Amen. I want you to know that if we're acting a little stubborn in some areas, let's be submissive and say, man, I apologize. We don't have to hold grudges any longer because someone did something to us way back when. No, why don't we walk in forgiveness? Why don't we allow the blessing of God to come all in our lives and resist all the junk that is keeping us from the promised land? Why don't we know who we are in Christ Jesus so that we can be the true head and not the tail, the true beginning and not the ending where all the junk is? Why don't we know that when we declare the scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ, that we actually believe that and that we can do it. Not hopefully doing it. No, we can do all things through Christ. Why don't we literally believe when we declare over ourselves that we're more than a conqueror? That we actually believe that we are more than a conqueror. Just because you've been divorced and things haven't happened greatly in your marriages, why don't you forget those things that are behind you so that when you get into the new relationship, praise God, that all the junk from the old one won't come to the new one. Why don't we start understanding when the doctor says that you're going to die in 6 months, that we declare that it may be the fact that we have cancer, but it is not the truth, because the truth is what the Bible says. And if we believe the Bible more than the fact, which is the truth will override the fact and we'll be healed by His stripes in Jesus' name. And then we won't say, well, God doesn't heal everyone. Yes, He does. He heals all them that believe. And if you believe more than you doubt, you'll start seeing some things happen in your life. You'll start seeing the dead in Christ raised, praise God. You'll start seeing the blind eyes actually open right in the midst of you. You'll start seeing relationships being mended, praise God, instead of continuing to be destroyed. You'll start seeing you literally coming up on top of that enemy, and you'll command him to get under your feet. And you won't think that the devil has more authority and power than you as a believer in Jesus Christ. No, you'll start saying, wait a minute, I have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords living on the inside of me. And just at the very name of Jesus, that demon has to go. And then watch, all the people around you will be like the little boats on the day when Jesus went to the other side and the hurricane winds and the storm came. When Jesus said, peace be still, and by the way, you should be the one that says, peace be still. Don't wait for Jesus to say it. No, he's given you the authority to use his name. You say, peace be still. Calm down, family. Devil, get out of this business. Calm down in Jesus' name. Church, calm down. Settle down in Jesus' name. And I'm talking, we're talking by the Spirit, man. And man, there's things that may be, your emotions may be all crazy, and you may have a depressive spirit. You might be full of anger in some areas, but man, when you begin to speak to that mountain and you command that mountain to be cast into the sea, and you do it with the authority that you have in Christ Jesus, then that mountain has to flee. And whatever the mountain is, it has to obey you. So if it's doubt, if it's a dream or a vision that's, man, I just can't get there and I'm going to give up on it, it's time to get that dream and vision back up. Get it resurrected back up so that the devil does not win, that you are the winners. And yes, it might take some separating. You know those friends that they've been my friend forever? Well, wait a minute, they're not saved. They're not born again. And if you're not going to get them saved, then you got to separate yourself so that you're not influenced by that spirit. Well, it's hard to do, isn't it? Not for someone who knows who they are in Christ Jesus. Because you'll be surprised. This last story. This is, I'm on my second close and all preachers have three. When I started in the ministry of college rodeo, a man gave us, Glenn Smith, my spiritual dad, he gave us a camper put on our truck. So I put it on my truck. It had two beds and an air conditioner, and that's it. So we'd go to the college rodeos, and we wanted a lot of people to come and hear about our Jesus. Well, they wanted to go to the dance, though. And we would be by ourselves. I'd grab a guitar, and it would just be me and Trey Johnson. I'd sing, he'd preach. I'd get saved, then he'd get saved. I'd get saved again. We were alone. I thought, man, Lord, this is lonely. It was a matter of time when the Lord said, stand. You just keep doing it. I'm talking about maybe the next rodeo or the next. It wasn't very long that I got the guitar out, and there were like six or eight guys that decided to come over, maybe a couple of girls. And they would just begin to sit there and listen to me play the guitar. Before I knew it, there were 20 or 30. Everybody else was at the dance after the college rodeo. All of this group was just right there, and we would just praise God. See, there's something about standing for what's right. I'm not saying the dance was wrong. We just at that time didn't have any desire to go in that atmosphere that we had been used to. The drinking, the partying, the all that, we just didn't want to be a part of that. And I know you can go and not be, you know, in the midst of us, but just being around it, we just didn't want to. And here they came. And it was a matter of time. In those first years, we would have 200 or 300 people coming to our services. 100. It was such a revival. But in the midst of it, there would always be attacks. The devil trying to back us up. They would make up all kinds. Before me and my wife got married, a preacher started a rumor about me and her that we lived together and that we believed it's okay to have sex as long as we was engaged. Remember that? I'll never forget. I'm like, what? I don't believe that. I don't believe you're supposed to have sex before marriage, period. Would someone say amen to that? We still believe that, right? You'll be surprised what people are thinking nowadays. I mean, they do things as if they're married. No. Let's man up or woman up and say, nope, you know what? We're wrong here. Let's go ahead and get married. Let's get married. Now, we don't have to beat each other up over that. Let's just live the way God intended us for us. So they started these rumors. I'm like, where did that come from? I'll tell you where it came from. The devil trying to stop the move of God in College Rodeo. Well, he didn't win. Me and my wife did get married, by the way. Right? Thank God. Listen to me. Always understand that sometimes you've got to separate yourself from people that may be causing you not to enter into the dream or the vision and the things that God has placed on your heart. And don't be afraid of that. Because in these last days, he's separating all of us sheep from the goats. Our sheep, a sheep. We're going to be ascending to the clouds to meet Jesus in the air. And the goats are going to stay here. And they're going to have to get evangelized by somebody else because all of us sheep are leaving. But listen, let's start getting people born again, coming to these churches so that they can get set free, delivered, saved, and healed to the glory of God in Jesus' name. Amen? All right. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for just a good time here at Cowboy Church. We love you. We thank you, Lord, that all denominations are represented here. Because we're not one or the other. We just preach this Bible. So, Father, thank you for that. But I also thank you, Lord, that at this church, you instructed me to never leave a service without giving someone an opportunity to receive Jesus. So I want to do that right now. Father, if there's one person at the sound of my voice, either here in this congregation or watching us, that has never given their lives to Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that right now you would soften their heart, and as the word says, you would draw them to you. Thank you for that, sir, in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, please. If you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell if you died. If Jesus is your Lord and you've said, according to Romans 10:9, I confess you, Jesus, as Lord. I invite you into my heart. Be my Lord. If you've done that, when you die or leave this earth or you go up to meet Jesus in the air, God's going to say, well done. Come on into heaven. I have a place, a mansion for you. I've prepared it. Jesus did, actually. But if you're not saved and Jesus is not the Lord of your life, then when you die, God has to say, depart from me. That's the separating. I don't want that to happen. So God, he called preachers like me, Howdy and Ricky, and I can name off hundreds and hundreds of preachers. Billy Graham, that want to preach to you the salvation of Jesus, but it's up to you to receive Jesus as Lord. So what we do at this church is we're going to pray a prayer. I'm going to ask every believer in here to pray it, but I'm really asking anyone at the sound of my voice that has never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You just don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell. I'm asking you to pray this prayer and ask Jesus to come in and save you. And we're just going to do it simply, just all together. You ready? If you're here, pray this prayer and ask Jesus to come in and pray it just like this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me of all my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, if you just prayed that prayer, don't look up just yet. If you just prayed that prayer, you're going to bust heaven wide open when you leave. But listen to me. Don't ever be ashamed to let people know that Jesus became the Lord of your life this morning or whenever. If he did this morning, here's what I want you to do at the count of three. Right where you're at. You don't have to come down. You don't have to get up. Right where you're at, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up and say, God, I meant that prayer. I prayed it. Jesus is now the Lord of my life. I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. And then put your hand right back down. That's what you're saying. If you just prayed that prayer, get it up and put it back down when I say three. Ready? One, two, three. Go. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. I love it when little girls get saved again. If they can get baptized. Amen. Was there anybody else besides my kids and his friends? I saw them all raise their hand back there. Praise God. All right, look at me, y'all. I don't know about you. Thank you for receiving me back as your pastor, being gone for a little bit. I love it when I get to get back. This year, I've gotten back more than I ever have in the summer. And so it's all winding down finally. Get to be back for a while. Love you guys so much. I don't believe anybody gave their lives to the Lord, which is very unusual at this church. But now we know that this message is for all of us. We got to be about the Father's business and other people. We're sheep, right? We're sheep. Acting like sheep. Now, not smelly. Not with a lot of hair. I mean, shave yourself if you need to. But there's something about being a sheep and not a goat. Amen? All right, did you have a good time? All right, stand to your feet. I wanted to pray for the ladies that went to the Women of Joy this week. There were several that are gone, and I just pray over them as they come back. I wanted to tell you, in 2 weeks, we're going to have some special things happen here, but a big part is we're going to do a blessing, a meal. In the old Baptist church that we was raised up in before we got tampered with, we all called them a potluck dinner. Who all remembers the potluck dinners? Well, I don't believe in luck. I mean, you can't find it in the Bible. Luck, you have good and bad. I believe in the blessing of God. So we just started calling it pot blessing. And we had a biker here one time that got a question asked when we promoted to pot blessing if we really blessed pot. So I'm serious. So I had to tell them this is not Colorado. We're going to do a meal, a bring a dish, food, and fellowship after church on the 22nd. That's not this coming Sunday, but it's the next. We're going to get to be here. That's a good time to get to know us if you don't. And it's a bring a dish. So also for parents and kids and kids church, that same day, we're going to be having a meeting with all parents that have children at this church to just kind of know, and some changes that we're doing in kids church. It's going to be a blast. So I want everybody to start spreading the word that we're going to bring dishes and we're going to have a meal together on the 22nd of September. Say that with me. September 22nd. What day was that? Okay, you remembered. Not this Sunday, but the next. And we're going to be have an update, you know, verifying info on kids, parents, volunteers. It's just going to be a neat thing. We're transitioning over to a new leader that you're going to get introduced to, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So, howdy. Ricky, thank y'all for taking care of the ministry while I've been gone. I hear great. Matter of fact, I watch it. By the way, I watch these services from the road every time. I was in Lewiston, Idaho this last Sunday. The Sunday before that, I think I was at like Deadwood, South Dakota. I can't remember, but But I've got to hear the majority of each message, and so they've done a good job. Amen. Love you guys very much. Thank you, visitors, for coming. We're going to baptize a precious little girl, so I want her to go get ready. And Howdy is going to baptize. I'm going to watch. So if y'all don't mind, let's just, if you can, let's go and witness a baptism. If you haven't been baptized, on the second Sunday of every month, we baptize. If you've never been baptized, you need to be. That's the first act of obedience after you give your life to the Lord. And so if you've never been baptized, no big deal. It's warm water in the tank down there. It's not a big deal. We need to be baptized, though. Amen? And so we want to baptize. Howdy, I want you to go get ready. Don't stay and greet in here if you don't mind. Just greet outside. But I want to honor this little girl and her family, and she brought some family with them to see the baptism. If you've never been baptized before and you want to, let's dunk you right now. I won't hold you under very long at all. Amen? Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for a wonderful time. And all the people that came and visited and have been here since I've been here, just visiting, and I just pray that if this is their church, Father, that they would plant and want to be a part of it. So, Father, thank you for just revealing that to them. And if not, God, find them a good Bible-believing church wherever they live. Father, thank you, Lord, for this service. Thank you for what you're doing at this church. And we love you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. With a big round of applause, you're dismissed. Love you.